Okay, so if you were in here a little earlier, I'm sorry for the blooper you saw. As he said, my name is Marley Trandle, and I am a graduate student from Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. My project is nitrogen and carbon stable isotope patterns in organic and conventional tomato production, and I am working with a great group of professors and researchers under the guidance of Dr. Ellen Walters. So field and greenhouse tomato production has recently attracted a great deal of attention and now represents the second largest horticultural crop grown in the world. With that being said, this project is very important because tomatoes are high nutrient feeders and generally require large amounts of nitrogen to maximize production and their fruit quality. In turn, to ensure healthy plants and a large harvest, nitrogen is often overapplied in controlled or greenhouse and field production systems. Thus, proper nitrogen sources and timing of fertilizer applications are crucial to maximize fruit yields, but also to decrease the overapplication of nitrogen, which is an increasing problem here in the States. So, few analytical methods have been used to distinguish differences between organic or synthetic production systems. But stable isotope analyses and fingerprinting has been increasingly used to do this, and this is a brand new method. Through this project, we have learned that plant isotopic compositions could reflect the type of fertilizer source applied to the soil, and it could also potentially show the amount of nitrogen needed and when the plant is in demand during various growth stages. Also, that by studying and analyzing differences in nitrogen and carbon stable isotopic fingerprints, we could potentially help to decrease the overapplication of nitrogen fertilization regimes, which would be a benefit economically. The main focus of this project is to first better understand the mechanisms involved with nitrogen uptake of tomatoes by comparing the weight percent nitrogen and nitrogen and carbon stable isotopic ratios in tomato leaf, fruit skin, fruit juice, and soil samples of 8 distinct fertility treatments. In which we analyzed immature, which you'll see later is in September, immature October growth stages, because as you know, tomato plants assimilate nitrogen and carbon differently depending upon their stage of life. And secondly, it was very interesting, we wanted to determine if we could actually distinguish different soil fertility treatments by differences analyzed in the nitrogen and carbon isotopic patterns. So some materials we used, yes, I am growing indeterminate tomatoes in a greenhouse, and we used Butterbush indeterminate tomatoes. Our soil media was a 1:1:1 steamed and sterilized Benlap silt loam, and you will see later we also added 1 part of vermicompost to the media. So some organic fertilizers we used, organic bone meal, blood meal, and potassium sulfate in vermicompost, and those are acting as our slow-release fertilizers. And then our liquid earth juice grow in bloom were our fast-release fertility. Some synthetic fertilizers we used were Peters Standard 12-12-12, that's our slow release, and then liquid miracle grow is our fast release. So for the lab, I needed a drying oven, a freezer for tomato juice samples, centrifuge, hand refractometer, micropore filters, tin capsules, and a laboratory scale. And for the analysis, they were run using a Fisher Scientific Delta 5 Plus isotope ratio mass spectrometer through a Conflow 4 unit. So, although we are growing indeterminate field-type tomatoes, a controlled study was set up in greenhouse in order to decrease any external environmental factors such as extremely wet or dry field conditions and harsh pests or disease pressures. With that being said, we evaluated 8 various fertility treatments. Number 1 is acting as a control, no fertility. 2 is your synthetic, Miracle-Gro. 3 is your all-organic bone meal and blood meal. That's your slow release. 4 is your bone meal and blood meal with liquid earth juice, so you have your slow and fast release. And then 5 through 8 is where we added that 1 more part vermicompost to our soil media. So 5 is your all-organic bone meal and blood meal with 25% vermicompost. 6 is your bone meal, blood meal, liquid earth juice, 25% vermicompost. 7 is your synthetic with 25% vermicompost, and then another control with our vermicompost. The experiment was set up in an 8x3 randomized complete block design with 3 replications. And for harvesting, we had 5 tomato leaves harvested at 2 growth stages, immature in September, immature in October, and we harvested 2 selected fruits from cluster 1 and cluster 2. Our tomato leaf and skin samples were oven dried at 65 to 70 degrees Celsius, grinded down, and then dried for 1 to 2 days longer. Keeping in mind skin samples coming from a very wet media generally took a lot longer to dry, so I had to be a bit patient with that. And then all samples were packed into tin capsules. For tomato juice samples, we absorbed that juice in silicone dioxide powder, which is an inert element that does not show up during analysis. And those were also packed into tin capsules, and all samples were analyzed in the lab using the isotope ratio mass spectrometer unit. So some important techniques for leaf harvesting. We harvested from 3 various branches, and as you can see, branch 1 at the top, branch 2 in the middle, and branch 3. And from all those 3 branches, we harvested the tip leaves. And then from branch 1, we harvested the tip, the middle, and the top, or the leaf that was closest to the stem. And a very important reason for doing this was to see if there was either a vertical or horizontal relationship between your nitrogen isotopic abundances. We wanted to look at both horizontal and vertical differences within the plant because we believe that this would further allow us to see where and when the nutrients were moving and where they were needed during plant growth and development at various growth stages. So for tomato clusters, very similar. I harvested 2 select tomatoes from cluster 1 and cluster 2. And with that being said, we took the average weights of those tomatoes. And then at takedown, I took the overall weight yield data from the whole tomato and fruit count. And I did not show this in the slide, but we also took soil samples in which we stuck a soil probe down at 5 different points in the pot. And we treated those soil samples very similarly to our leaf and skin samples, oven drying, grinding down, and analyzing. So the results, the cool part. For the first part of this project, we wanted to focus on vertical assimilation. Unfortunately, I was unable to run all my data for my horizontal assimilation. I mean, time is just very hard to get through sometimes. And so in these tables, you can see my different treatments, and you can see my mean delta nitrogen 15 N weights, their standard deviations, the mean weight percent nitrogen weights, and their standard deviations. And I know I talked about harvesting from 3 various branches, branch 1, branch 2, branch 3, the tips. So we did not find any significant differences, strong significant differences that I could report in variability from branch tips at the top to the bottom of the plant. And so you are seeing only my mean isotopic abundance weights portrayed in these tables. We used a Dunnett mean separation because we were using 2 treatments. Your number 1 is your known fertility, and your number 8 is your fertility with no fertility with vermicompost. And with that, we separated our means with LSDs. And as you can see, judging by both of these tables, September and October, your synthetic Miracle-Gro and your Miracle-Gro with 25% vermicompost had the lowest and were the most significantly different from all other treatments in their mean delta 15 N weights. Here are some box plots giving you a good example as to where our means were reported. As you can see, treatment 2, which is your synthetic Miracle-Gro, and treatment 7, which is your synthetic Miracle-Gro with vermicompost, are significantly lower in both September and October data. So to get even deeper into the results, for both September and October tomato tip leaf data, we saw highly significant differences observed in the treatments with relatively high R-squared values, which is exactly what I wanted to see. For our nitrogen isotope in September, our all-organic treatments, so your bone meal and blood meal with vermicompost, your bone meal, blood meal, liquid earth juice with vermicompost, and your no fertility with vermicompost had higher delta N15 values than all other treatments. And for your weight percent nitrogen, it was actually an inverse correlation. So we saw higher weight percent nitrogen values in your synthetic treatments, synthetic Miracle-Gro, and Miracle-Gro with 25% vermicompost. So to better explain the results, now although I spoke a little bit about the carbon isotope, we did not find any differences in the delta 13 carbon in September or October tomato tip leaf, fruit skin, fruit juice, or soil data. And this is probably due to the fact that Rubisco generally likes to uptake carbon 12 instead of carbon 13 because, unlike humans, plants like to think or work smarter and not harder. And carbon 13 in the soil is actually harder for plants to uptake because it's in heavier ionic form. But then going on to our nitrogen isotope. So for our delta 15 nitrogen in tomato tip leaves from our three different branches, our fruit skins from our first two fruit clusters, and our soil samples indicated that our all organic treatments, particularly the vermicompost, had significantly higher values than your synthetic or no added fertility. And this is probably a result of the fact that delta 15N, as I said, delta 13C is heavier in the soil, so delta 15N is also heavier in the soil, making it stronger bonded together, which binds but harder into the soil. And so plants have to work harder to uptake that. When plants have to work harder to uptake that, you're generally going to see higher abundance within the plant itself. And thus, this project indicates that greater amount of delta 15 nitrogen were found in tomato plants coming from organic fertilization applications, more vermicompost or sustainable fertilization applications. So, some discussion. This project focused on the weight percent nitrogen and nitrogen stable isotopic differences, and by doing that, we could look at the plant's isotopic ratio dependent upon the fertilization provided. Plant isotope compositions we saw in this study could reflect both the amount and type of nitrogen source needed and applied to the soil. And this is important because by looking at these compositions, it can reflect the amount, the type of nitrogen source applied to the soil, thus further leading us to see when that nitrogen source was needed at different growth stages and when the plant might be in demand for those nutrients. Understanding the variability of nitrogen isotopic ratios is extremely important in both field and greenhouse production systems because it is generally the element that is most limited during plant cell growth and fruit development. And thus, by gaining more information on the flux between your weight percent nitrogen and your nitrogen stable isotopic compositions, it could further help us to understand nitrogen cycling not only in the plant and the soil, but also in the environment. Thus, this will allow us to further refine our fertility recommendations or potentially even decrease the total amount of fertilizer applied to the soil and the timing of your fertilizer applications, which is extremely beneficial to and economical to growers because they could potentially start to save some money. Furthermore, this can help us to better relate our fertility applications to the overall quality and yields of both organic and synthetic tomato productions. And lastly, but also very, very important for wholesale markets and consumers, we actually saw that we could depict differences in fertility, so synthetic versus organic, allowing us to assure our consumers that their products are actually of organic or inorganic origins, which is pretty demanding now at this time. To conclude, this project found greater amounts of delta 15N in tomato plants that had vermicompost applications. And this form of nitrogen is thought or assumed to provide better soil fertility management since it is associated with less soil leaching and volatilization. Also that by using your 14N and 15N isotopic ratios, organic and conventional fertilization systems could be distinguished in tomato foliage and fruit. We see that this project is a great base for other research opportunities to build from and potentially better refine fertility recommendations, because all crops have different nitrogen assimilation and allocation rates. And for the future, this project could also lead to other studies that may help to reduce nitrogen losses through volatilization and soil leaching. And we could also potentially look at root crops, leafing crops, and different types of tomato varieties, heirloom tomatoes, and so forth. So I wanted to give a very big thank you to Dr. Ellen Walters, Dr. Mary Kinzel, Dr. Liliana Leftikariou, and April for their help and guidance throughout this first year, Dr. Mihai Leftikariou for his time analyzing my samples because I had thousands of them, the HRC team and the Center for Sustainable Farming team for their time in the field when I couldn't be there, my interns, Francois and Heidi, for their time grinding down samples, and Tyler and my dogs for their love and support throughout the trials of my education this year.
Questions?
Dr. Walters.
Yes. You know, we started this project off in trying to determine if we could really see a difference in organic and inorganic products. And that was why we really started the project, right?
Yes.
So can you kind of elaborate a little more on if you think this procedure can really be utilized as a determining factor in discriminating between organic and inorganic products?
So this project or sample analysis is pretty expensive to run, and because of that, it's, you know, you need to have funding to back yourself up, and also the fact that we haven't looked at rooting crops or leafing crops, it might be really hard to distinguish differences in synthetic or organic production systems and wholesale markets. But we have seen that in tomato fruits, due to the how they assimilate, it is very beneficial, although expensive, very beneficial in showing what organic fertilizer applications are always going to have higher abundances. In fact, they're usually between 9% and 11%, and synthetic is always going to be lower. Actually, a lot of times it's negative to about 2% to 3%.
Okay, thank you.